I want you to turn with me over there to Matthew in chapter 6. I want to share with you this morning the cure for anxiety. Amen. The cure for anxiety. We're living in a time where anxiety is becoming the king of the house. And I want to share with you something that I believe will help you learn how to live without anxiety. The Word of God in its directives and its instructions into our life will continue to help you not to be anxious, to have anxiety. So I want to read, first of all, just the actual text. And then I'm going to start with verse 25 and then read it again. But the text this morning in Matthew 6 and 34 literally states this. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now starting there in verse 25 in the same chapter, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And again, our text. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I want to speak this message entitled Faith That Prevails. If you're going to live in this world, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to have prevailing faith. You can't just give up and give out and give in. You have to have prevailing faith. In other words, the question that I would ask you is, are you troubled about something? What keeps you anxious? What keeps you worrisome? What keeps you from striving after the things of the Lord? What keeps you from prayer? You see, anxiety doesn't make you pray. It makes you freeze. Where you won't read the Word, you won't pray, all you'll do is worry. And you'll bring other people into your worries, your complaints, your negative speech. Your thought patterns become verbal. Your countenance says, I'm in trouble. Your smile doesn't smile anymore, it frowns. Your face doesn't look happy, it looks sad. Because you are full of anxiety. Because worry has captured you and faith is on vacation. The Bible is very clear that we need not worry. God does have everything in control. The Lord has ordered the steps of a righteous person. God knows exactly what your tomorrow looks like. He knew what this day would be like for you. He has your life ordered. The Bible is very clear about this. The Bible even says that you are in the palm of God's hand and no man can pluck you out. The Bible declares that angels of the Lord encampeth about you and deliver you out of all your troubles. The Bible is really clear that the Lord said, it is expedient for me to leave, for when I leave, the Father will send the Paracletos, the Comforter, the one who walks along your side, who will testify of me and show you things to come, and will speak only the things that the Father speaks of me. The Bible is very clear where Jesus states, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. The Bible is really clear that whatever God has begun in you, He will continue to do a work in you until the day of the Lord. The Bible is really clear that whatever you have given unto the Lord, He is able to keep until that day. And that we should be fully persuaded about that. The Bible is really clear that our God is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. The Bible is very clear that God causes us to always triumph through Christ. The Bible is very clear where it says, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible is very clear that we in everything we should give thanks, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. The Bible is very clear that God loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. The Bible is very clear that we have victory over this world. And what is that victory? Our faith. So we don't need to be anxious and worried, overly concerned. Jesus is very clear here as He's speaking to the Jewish people. The book of Matthew was written for the Jewish people. It wasn't written to the Gentiles, as the Bible in the New Testament, the majority of it is written to the Gentiles. Matthew was actually written to the Jewish people. That's why he refers here that the Gentiles seek after these things. We literally have to understand that the concept, the actual application that he is speaking here fits our life. And he wants us to walk in that kind of peace and walk in that kind of mercy and walk in that kind of depth and walk in what he has for you and I every moment of every day. Don't worry about it. Don't be overly concerned about the things that you are carrying to church with you. The things that you are strongly burdened about. The Bible is very clear that we should cast all our cares upon Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 7 through 9. That we should cast all our cares upon Him. For He cares for us. The word cast in the Greek is not simply some little quaint word that just to use. It was a word that was used for when you cast, that you actually throw with all your might towards that which you're aiming at. And what you're aiming at is you're pointing your cares towards God and you're casting your cares to Him. And He catches those cares. And He is able to take care of everything that goes on. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion who roams about looking to whom he may devour. And those that he finds anxious and without faith, he devours. Amen. The Bible says that we should be vigilant and be sober and resist the devil. And he will flee. Resist him. Don't let him dictate to you that whatever's going on in your life that's got you so burdensome that you're done, you're down for the count. The next number after 9 is 10 and it's over. No way! Stand up and say to the devil, look at me, devil. Do you see I'm clothed with Jesus Christ? Do you see that I am covered by the blood of the Lamb? Do you see the angels that encampeth around me? Do you see the rock that I stand upon? It's not a rock made by clay and stone and ore. It is the rock of the revelation that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And that's whom I serve this very hour. Amen. Somebody praise Him here for a moment, would you please? Somebody worship Him and acknowledge Him for who He is in your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday, by the way. And it's coming. Whether you worry about it or not, it's coming. The only thing that'll interrupt tomorrow is if the rapture happens, but you'll still have a tomorrow, but it'll be an eternal tomorrow. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Tomorrow's coming. It's Monday. As a matter of fact, if you want to check on it, there's tomorrow already in some part of the world. Amen. Give them a call. It's there already. Amen. Don't worry about it. Amen. Don't fret. Amen. You're God's possession. You're God's children. We're the sons and daughters of a living God. Amen. The one true God. The Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen. He's our Father. And we are adopted into the family, not by the spirit of fear, but by the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. The Bible says in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, witnesses in our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Have you got a witness lately? Amen. Have you got a witness in your heart of who you are in Christ? Oh, don't play with God. Don't act like God's there, but inside your mind, God's so far away that He's not even a glimpse. Don't treat God like He's some piece of plastic on a dashboard of a car. He's a picture on the wall. Jesus isn't on Calvary's cross any longer. He's risen. He's alive. He's a conqueror. And He has made you and I more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the testimony of our lips. Revelations 12 and 11. And that we don't even love our life even as unto death. We are so secure in Christ Jesus, no matter what happens in our life, we have victory. Amen. Amen. Someone look at their neighbor and say, I'm getting a witness. Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a present help. He's not a distant help. He's not a phone call away. He's not around the corner, down the street, and up the road. He's not beyond reach. He's not across the river, across the creek, or across the ocean. He's not across the state, across the country, or around the world. He's not the next town over. He's not the next village over. He's not the next hamlet over. He's not the next hood over. God is our very present help in our time of trouble. He's always there. He's here right now. Whether you want to accept it or not, I know He's here. I got a witness in my spirit that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, is here right now. Would you praise Him for a moment, please? Would you praise Him like you know He's here? Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him like you know He's here. Respond to Him. Give thankfulness to Him. Offer your praise to Him. Say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am to praise you. Here I am to worship you. Here I am to acknowledge you. I'm not going to walk around anxious anymore. Jesus died. He rose. And in between the death and the resurrection, they were anxious. They were concerned. They forgot what he had promised. That the temple would be torn down, but in 3 days it would be rebuilt. They took him from a cross, dead. But on the third morning, he came out of a tomb, alive! Conquering sin, conquering death. We have been given that strength by the Lord, that inner strength, that no matter what goes on in our life, we will always triumph in Christ. Amen. The Bible is really saying that he's abundantly available for help. Amen. How many folks have gone to people for help and they weren't too abundantly available? How many people have gone to someone that they thought for sure would help and they said, contact my secretary? How many people have ever gone to somebody and they said, there's not enough money in the bank to help you right now. I'm sorry. Here's another agency to go see. But I'm here to tell you today, wherever you are, wherever you're at, no matter what time of the day, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter what week it is in the month, no matter what month it is in the year, no matter what year it is in the generation, no matter what generation it is in the millennium, no matter what time it may be in a century, God is abundantly available for you. Whatever you ask or think, he is there for you. Amen. He's there with you in the tightest of places. Sometimes it gets tight, doesn't it? Sometimes you feel like if someone twists that vice one more, you're just going to pop. If you get one more directive from somebody, you're just going to yell back, no more, please. If there's any more pressure, you're going to ask somebody to put a steam valve on you with a release button. Life is tough today in the year 2012. We're going into 2013. It's not going to get any easier, church. They can do what they want in Washington today. But I'm not worried about it. I'm concerned about one thing. How many people are going to accept a message from Jesus Christ saying, I don't have to worry anymore. He's got my life guarded and I'm in his hand forevermore. Let me take you to a set of scriptures that just is very unique in its concept. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Amen. Come on now. Amen. It's the Bible. How many have been dwelling on other things besides these things? Amen. Sleepless nights because you're dwelling on the other things instead of these things. Some of you looking at me like, oh, well, who do you think he is? I'm a messenger of God. I'm the mailman. If you don't like the letter, throw it away. But it was delivered. You signed for it. And he's got the delivery confirmation in glory. Amen. waking up in the morning, the first thing that hits you is anxiety. It's like God is third in line. Anxiety, and then how good you look, or want to look, or wished you looked. And then God, somewhere in that picture throughout the day, where you actually say, you know, I forgot to pray today. I forgot to read my word. I forgot to let the word embrace me. I forgot the word to allow me to start my day. When you wake up in the morning and the first thing that hits you is your troubles, your indebtedness, your fears, your doubts. You're so concerned that you've lost something in your walk with God. And God says it's not right that you would ever lose joy. The Bible says, rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice evermore. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the last time I checked, He's pretty happy. Amen. Amen. What I don't want today and what the Lord doesn't want today, and above all that, is that's the most important statement that I could ever make, is for you to leave today full of anxiety, full of fear. Just another message preached by a preacher. The dozens that I've heard. Just another thought given by a minister of the gospel, the many thoughts that I've heard. No, I want you to realize today God is sending a message to your heart. He is concerned about your anxiety attacks. He is concerned about your panic. He is concerned about your fears. He is concerned about your worries. And why is He concerned? Not that He can't take care of it. He's not concerned about that. He's concerned that you are not witnessing, nor are you worshiping Him, because something is in the way, and it's your worry. All right. He wants you to be full of joy. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. That's what Paul was saying. And the God of peace will be with you. Think about these lovable and gracious things. Things are tough on a job. Think about when they were better. Kids giving you trouble? Think about when they were born and how beautiful they were. You have a tough time in your relationship with your mate? Think about when you first fell in love and you couldn't wait to give him a kiss or her a kiss. Awful silent there. The bank doesn't look as fat as it used to because you put it on a diet because you quit tithing. Think about when things were good. Think about those things that are so worthy and are so good and lovely and honorable. All we want to do is talk about the negative things. The what is wrong in life. Let's talk about what is right in life. We got shelter over our head. We're breathing air. Hallelujah. We've chosen to eat or not eat today. We've got clothes on our back. We got a car and we drove to church, or we got a ride by sticking out our thumb. But one way or another, we made it to the house of God. Amen. 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 And I'll just say how it is. We're not doing a funeral today. We're preaching life. Amen. Well, I'm not preaching, preacher. Well, why don't you start thinking about preaching and stop talking about that you're not preaching? Oh, hallelujah! That's right. I'm into this. anxiety. I'm tired of the negativity. I'm tired of the fear. I want faith. God wants faith. God wants faith in your life. Man, that preacher is radical. Yes, I am. 2013 is going to be a radical year from this pulpit. I don't want the devil attending here any longer. If you're not here next weekend, sorry. You know I'm just having fun with you. But we need to ponder on these things. We need to think about the goodness of God in our life. Think about what you dream about your children. Think about what you dream about your future. Think about what you dream about, what you want to become and where you're heading and what your goals are. Don't be negative about, oh, I'll never make it and this is too hard and everybody's against me and, oh, look at the way they look at me. Oh, stop. Go to your room. My wife said, I think she said to zip it, clip it, and put it in your pocket. Stop speaking negative thoughts. Start praising God with a positive faith. Are you getting a witness? Take notice about this. After that great instruction from Paul on the approach of prayer in Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Didn't say negative spirit, your gentle spirit. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Take notice where peace of God is promised, that in Philippians 4:9. Just a few verses later, peace is promised through prayer. Now in verses 4:9, it is promised again when you are properly a faithful and trusting child of God. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If you think about the stuff, if you pray about the stuff, the peace of God is going to be with your stuff. Hallelujah. God's peace is going to be there. His mercy is going to undergird your steps. His faith is going to blow open doors that men and women could not close and cannot open. And the devil, when he takes a shot at you, he's got to get through the faith of God. Not your faith. The only faith I got is a faith in God. And let the fiery darts be fired. Because when they hit the shield, it's drenched with the word and they go out. Be alive in Christ. Don't be dead in Christ. Be alive in Christ Jesus. You live by the Son of God who lived and died for you, and the faith that you now have is His faith in you.
Your life is so secure in God, so powerfully designed by God, so righteously set by God, that when you walk into the mercies of God, that beauty of His life becomes more than just a thought. It becomes winsome, attractive, and appealing in appearance and character. You want more of God because you're thinking about God instead of thinking about the negative thoughts. The why did this happen to me? What's wrong? Why is this? And I'll never get anything. The other person got it and I didn't. It's so bad today. Sun's out and I'm feeling like I'm in a hurricane. Car won't start because I forgot to put gas in it, but it won't start. Tires are flat because I ran over a bunch of nails. Isn't that just life, though? How about saying, if I wouldn't have run over those nails, the tires wouldn't be flat. I think I'll go get the car fixed. Well, I don't have any money to fix the car. Well, then I'm going to find it because God is my provider. God can fix anything, by the way. He can fix your body. He can fix your mind. And clearly, if you're saved, He's already fixed your soul. God is the King of fixing things. He's right there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's a deliverer. He sets you free. He's a Savior. He saves you from an eternal hell. I know people don't want to say hell anymore because they want to keep it all in the grace dispensation. Friend, we are in the dispensation of grace, but a hell still exists. And you got to have faith in a risen Savior. You got to trust in the promises that God has given you. You got to be excited about your relationship with God.
Amen. Amen.
Why don't people attend church? Because they've heard too many negative things from Christians that do attend church. Who's that happy person at the bus stop? Oh, that's somebody who just got a job. Who's that real sad person? Look like they just don't even care if the bus comes. Oh, that's just a Christian. Come on now. Don't go all sad on me now. Let me describe to you that there's a lot of sad people that go to church. Because if their faces are telling me they're happy, I don't want that happiness. I want to be around people that are happy, excited, that you wake up in the morning and the first thing you say is a brand new day in God.
Yes.
God is good, amen. That's what I'm talking about. Think about the virtuous things, things that have high moral standards, something that is quality. With this world of media that we're in today, morality is in the bucket. It's in the bucket. It hit so bad, it dented the bucket even deeper. These young people are going to school. The most immoral things are going on. At work, immoral statements and jokes and things are being told. Magazines and books are filled with stories of filth and lust and pornography. Public schools aren't teaching what they used to teach. They're only teaching just so the teacher can get a salary. Don't you be looking at me like that. You know I'm telling you the truth. I don't need an amen. I'm telling you right now that this society has eaten the church alive because the church has stopped praising God and worshiping God and considering God in all matters because they're caught up in some sitcom. They're caught up in some sort of a deal that God may exist, but he doesn't really have what I need right now. Let me tell you, God exists, and he's all you need right now, tomorrow, and forevermore.
Sin is sin, my friend. And there is no debate.
Right.
Live for God, live happy.
Right. Yes.
Man, it's not happy wife, happy life. It's happy God, happy life.
Yes.
Man, you live right, you'll treat your wife right.
Yeah.
Ma'am, if you live right, you'll treat your husband right. Son or daughter, the Bible declares if you obey your father and mother, you will have a beautiful life.
Amen.
I'd rather think negative, Pastor. It feels better. Of course it does. It's our human nature loves to feel negative. Arguing on the way to church, that's the way to get to church. How come you're never on time? That's the way to get to church. How come I always got to wait on you? That's how you start your conversations on Sunday morning. Why did you pay tithe? Didn't you know we... That's another way you can keep it going nice in the household. You know, everybody's got something to say about something. But let me tell you, does anybody have something to say, not about a something, but about a God who's in glory, looking down from heaven saying, I will bless you, I will cause the sun and the moon not to bother you, no evil shall befall you, and no pestilence shall come near your dwelling. I will bless your coming in, I will bless your going out, you will not dash your foot against a stone. I am the Lord your God, look up to the hills, whence cometh your help cometh from the Lord. Lord, amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's the lifter of our head and the shield about us. He's our God. He's got everything right there for you. Think, weigh, and take into account your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on God. God is going to help you. Did you hear what this preacher just said? I just didn't say that to get an amen. I just said something to your spirit. I'm beyond looking at your countenance. I'm in your spirit now. I'm here telling you that God is going to fix your problem. I'm here to tell you that God is going to be your helper in every day of every time of every moment of every need. I'm here to tell you that God, the one that I'm speaking for, the one that I'm declaring into your spirit, is going to fix you good. Amen.
Amen.
No scar tissue. No more fear. No more doubting. God is going to take care of everything, everything, everything.
Everything.
Well, I don't know. You preach all the time. You have such a sense of humor when you're out of the pulpit. You're always joking. But let me tell you something, honey. When I'm in the pulpit, I'm representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I'm a human being just like the rest of you. I like having fun. I like joking. I like wrestling. I like having a good time. I love life to its most and utmost. But when I stand behind a wooden holy desk that God has honored me to speak, and he declares to me a word that I have to deliver, I'm not here joking. I'm here telling you there's a God in heaven that says, tell my people,
I am there. Amen.
Let me give you seven things quickly that faith prevails in. Faith prevails is a settled faith, not an anxious faith. Faith that prevails is a hopeful faith, not a bleak faith. Faith that prevails is a bold faith, not a timid or apprehensive faith. Oh, I'm not sure if God's going to do it. I'm a little anxious today. All the problems and fears I got. Well, I'm born again, but man, it doesn't look good.
That's like somebody said to me yesterday, I just cooked a frozen fresh turkey. That's exactly what I did. I looked at him and I went, you cooked a frozen fresh turkey. A turkey is either fresh or it's frozen. It cannot be both at the same time. What I'm saying to you is you can't have a bleak faith and a hopeful faith at the same time. You either got faith or you ain't got none.
Maybe when you come around and everybody goes the other direction, it's because maybe you're negative.
If it's that tough, God's tougher.
Amen.
If it's that bad, God's badder.
That's right.
And if it's that good, God is gooder.
God loves you all. Can I tell you that that's what he asked me to say to you? To tell you that he loves you all? He knows everything that's about to happen in your life, and I'm telling you, you're all right.
Some people think that if you have all the money in the world, you're happy. That's not true. Some people think if you don't have any money, you're sad. That's not true. Happiness and sadness is not built on your level of poverty or wealth. Happiness and sadness is built on the kind of faith you have in God. Amen. You can be as poor as a cracker without salt. But let me tell you something, my friend. Right now, you can be happy if God's picked you up to take a bite. Amen. You can be as rich as the richest person in the world and making Rockefeller look like he's the cracker. But if you don't have love or God, you're not happy. Problems have no disbursement to whether they go to the poor or whether they go to the rich or anyone sandwiched in between. Happiness is your relationship with a holy God. Let him love you. Let him hold you. Let him embrace you. Let him cuddle you. Let him caress you. Let him just love you. And let him know how much you love him. And you are not anxious for anything because he is in control of everything.
Amen. What if it doesn't work out? God's got something better. God's always got something better. A faith that prevails is a believing faith, not a skeptical faith. Well, I'm a little skeptical. Sounds good. However, you can't have that kind of faith. You either believe or you don't believe. There's no like murky area there. Do you believe God can heal you? By all means, I do. He's healed me so many times. I'm so thankful. I'm wanting almost to get sick again so he can heal me. That's how thankful I am. That's how faithful I am. Amen. You understand what I'm saying to you? That I am assured that God can heal no matter what. I am assured that God will fill an empty stomach no matter what. I am assured that God will clothe the naked no matter what. I am assured that God will make a bridge over the waters no matter what. I am assured that God will tear down the mountain no matter what. I am assured that God will bring an answer to your prayers no matter what. Praise God. Because he sent forth his word and they were all healed. Psalm 107 and 10. They were all healed. Amen. Praise God. Lord's talking to me a little bit. I'm arguing with him just a bit. He's winning. I'm losing. He's God. I'm glad. Amen. I didn't have any money in my foundation this week at all. None. $26. It's always like that time towards the end of the year where money doesn't come into the foundation. But I had to feed 500 people on $26. I went to Costco. I bought everything I had and I wrote out my own check, my own personal money. And just paid for it myself. The devil said, "You're a fool." I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a fool for Christ." Amen. He said, "You needed that money elsewhere." I said, "No, the Bible says those that considereth the poor, blessed are they." Well, they don't care if you give them any food. The Bible says if I give a drink of water to the least of these, it's as though I'm giving it unto the Lord. I may take the Lord. I just wish the church world get rid of its old stingy self and get back into that blessing like they used to be. Amen. And not be so concerned about what the bank says, but they're concerned about what God said. Amen. Amen. I know you love me. A faith that prevails is a trusting faith, not a suspicious faith. Suspicious faith is when you give something to somebody and then you wonder what they did with it. What'd they do with that, I wonder? Would you check to make sure that my offering went to the right place? That's why you don't get blessed, because you worry too much. You give, you walk away. If they did the wrong thing with it, God's going to deal with them. And let me tell you, that person after God deals with them would much been better if you dealt with them. Somebody say, "Good morning, Pastor." Amen. A prevailing faith is a proof-filled faith, not a circumstantial faith. Read the word. It's proof-filled. Story after story after story that the Lord healed. The Lord delivered. The Lord provided. The Lord sheltered. The Lord took an axe head from the bottom of the pond and floated it to the top all on its own. He took poison out of the waters in Marah.
He parked them right there, where he showed them that he was the master of breakthroughs. You need a breakthrough today? Let me introduce you to Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. God knows what he's doing. How could a branch raise up iron? I don't know, but God did it. How can a God call a guy like you? I don't know, but he did it. A prevailing faith is a factual faith, not an allegory or fiction faith. God believes in you. He believes in you. Amen. God knows you. He knows who you are. He knows the very thoughts that you have, even now. He knows how many hairs are upon your head, whether they're yours or if they're borrowed. He knows it. He knows how many teeth you got in your mouth, whether they were bought at the dentist or if they're still yours from birth. God knows who they belong to. Oh, yeah. God knows everything about you. As a matter of fact, God wants me to tell you he hears everything you say. And is keeping record of it. God loves you. He cares about you. Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Try crying once in a while, okay? Try letting him know you need help. Praise God. I wrote a book called Help. Every page, I put one word on it. It's 556 pages. Every page says, help! Help! Didn't sell well, but man, I got my point across. Help! The Beatles sung a song, help! I need someone. Help! I'm telling you right now, I'm saying out loud to God, help! My church, Hope for the Bay, needs help! My family of believers here need help! San Pablo needs help! The Bay Area needs help! It don't need hell. It needs help.
Yes.
Our teenagers of this church need help.
Yes.
Our young people, this church below the team, need help.
Yes.
Are you getting a witness?
Yes.
I know I'm doing good because some of you are really chewing that gum now. You're going after it like 100 miles an hour. I'm loving that. I'm gonna keep preaching until you stop chewing. Amen. I've gotten a little more less aggressive in my old age. I used to come out of there and have you stick it in your hand and hold it while I preach. But I won't do that to you. I promise, not today anyhow. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Keep chewing. I'm all right with it. Just having a little fun with you. Praise God. He's a rewarder than those who seek him. When you wake up and you don't seek him, you don't get any rewards. I'm a reward guy. I love to get something from God. I love when God spoke to me this week, this message. I said to God, thank you for that gift. Thank you for this Christmas gift. Thank you, God, that you put this powerful word in my heart to carry to beautiful, wonderful people who need help.
Amen.
I preached the shorter version yesterday.
4.5 minutes. Instead of everybody screaming, help, they went, hungry! Hungry! Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Now I want you to pay close attention to a verse I'm about to read, and I'll tell you which one. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country. They are, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have opportunity then to return. Here's another thing I want to tell you. Break your rear view mirror. Break your rear view mirror. Get rid of that in your mind where you look in the past and you see your failures, your fears, your frustrations, your doubts, and your anxieties take over. Look out the windshield of life that's straight ahead, knowing that God has prepared a way for you. Where there seemeth to be no way, He will make a way. Amen. 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 By the way, if He can turn an F into a B, praise God. I'm going to wait. Praise God. I'd almost dump that on my head. I'm a little excited for Jesus today. If He can take a marriage and make it whole, God knows what He's doing. 1 John. Let me finish this. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe it today? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Let me close right now. The chewing stopped, so I got to close. When we are aware of troubles, we should not attend to them as though they are children who need attention. But we should be more aware of the faith we have in our God. It is not your faith you have faith in. It is God's faith where your promise of fulfillment lies. Pray about the future God has promised and embrace that as a newborn baby, which is reaching to you for care and love. You see, sometimes when we take what God has given us and spoke to our hearts, we begin to treat it like it's a distant cousin, a redheaded stepchild, somebody that we don't know. We see it, but we really don't believe it, and we'd rather complain about not having it. How about praising that you got it? God is no respecter of persons. His gifts and callings are without repentance. So men have said something to you, they're negative. They woke you up, you're in a nightmare. Go back to sleep and begin to dream again. I was closing this out last night, and the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to read this paragraph, and I want you to listen to this. Overcoming through Christ. The gates of Hades will not overcome the church, Matthew 16 and 18. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, Romans 8:37. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. God leads us in triumph in Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Death is swallowed up in victory, 1 Corinthians 15:54. God will soon crush Satan under your feet, Romans 16:20. You have overcome the evil one, 1 John 2:13, 1 John 2:14. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, Revelations 12:11. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, 1 John 5:4. Those victorious over the beast, Revelations 15:2. Overcome evil with good, Romans 12:21. O death, where is your victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. The word of the Lord was growing and prevailing, Acts 19:20. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, 1 John 5:4. Who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, 1 John 5:5. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, Revelations 2:7. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death, Revelations 2:11. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, Revelations 2:17. To him who overcomes, I will give authority over the nations, Revelations 2:26. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, Revelations 3:5. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple, Revelations 3:12. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on my throne, Revelations 3:21. He who overcomes will be God's son, Revelations 21:7. If you don't have a promise, you got a paragraph full. They belong to you individually and corporately, personally, in everything.